Hi, friends! Join us as we dive into the themes, metaphors, and foreshadowing of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. We are your hosts, Leah,
Sarah,
Tabby,
and whether you're a new viewer or a longtime fan, welcome to Becoming Buffy.
Hey guys, welcome back to Becoming Buffy, the spoiler section. We are talking about season 5, episode 19, Tough Love. Wow, guys, are we setting up for season 6 or what? I felt like every plot point for this episode, I was like, oh wow, we're going to address that in season 6. Oh wow, we're going to address that in season 6. And then I was like, oh yeah, we're on episode 19. Like, we literally have 3 more episodes and we're done with season 5, which
That's crazy.
But with that, I just wanted to remind you guys that we are at that point of the season where this is the last spoiler episode that we'll be doing for season 5. Typically, towards the end of a season, we like to save the last 2 or 3 episodes for our talk with the big season 5 season recap. It's so much fun. But I also wanted to talk to you guys about kind of our format shift moving forward into season 6 and 7. So a little bit different here. We've talked long and hard and we've decided that we are not going to be doing spoiler episodes moving into season 6 and 7, with the exception of one at the very beginning of each season, just to kind of like say, hey, here's the season theme. This is kind of things we're going to be discussing and talking about. This is kind of like our view before we start the season. And then we'll do one at the very end. And I know so many of you are going to be so bummed by this, but we just really, there's a couple of reasons, but one is, as we get closer to the end of the show, there's not as much content to talk about, but also anything that we do discuss, it's going to happen sooner rather than later. And so we just don't want to become really repetitive and just end up running out of things to talk about. So the good news is we are going to go back to releasing our podcast episodes every single week, which I think is going to be so much fun. But for you guys are still going to get the occasional bonus episode. But also, so normally when we take a hiatus in the summer, we take about 1 month off. This summer, we're going to take about 2 months. That's to kind of like help us record a bunch before we start up releasing on a regular basis. But what's going to happen is we are going to be releasing season 6 episodes in the summer while we're on hiatus on a bi-weekly basis. So like on the same schedule we've been doing. So you guys will receive the first couple episodes of season 6 plus a spoiler episode while everybody else is on a hiatus. And when we start up in September and we're releasing episodes on a weekly basis, you guys are going to be about a month ahead. And yeah, you guys will just get extra content that way and ahead of everyone else. But we also thought this would be a really fun way to kind of cover some other vampire content. We have a few ideas, like the OG Buffy movie is something we've talked about since, you know, season 1. Bram Stoker's Dracula, What We Do in the Shadows. Like, I think we can have Leah lead it again. It would just be really fun. She's shaking her head like, no.
All of Sarah's extras ideas just make me have to do all the work. She's like, Leah can lead that one. Leah's idea was really good on this one. We'll definitely be doing that.
I'm just
shoving all the work onto you. She's trying to lighten her load. She's like, I'm just really busy, guys. So Leah will be taking all of it on.
So we're not doing spoilers because Sarah's busy, guys. That's what it is. No, we know that's never stopped me.
Honestly, though, even if that was your reason, I feel like us and the listeners would be like, you know what? Valid.
but also there is another reason, and you guys are the first ones to hear about this, but I'm actually working on a Buffy book. So I'm going to be compiling all of my notes, all the things we've talked about for the past 5 seasons, and I'm going to be releasing it into
Are you just telling everyone as you're telling us?
Yeah.
I've actually never heard this before.
Really?
I thought we talked about it. We definitely have.
What?
Teddy is gaslighting you guys. We have definitely talked about this.
I did not remember this at all.
Yeah, I told you, maybe you thought I was joking or something. Wow, I'm so glad the faith you have in me.
I don't have any recollection of this. You're writing a book?
I'm going to compile all of the notes that I've written, all the essays that I put onto Instagram. So basically, I'm going to release a book with episode and synopsis that talks about like the themes, the metaphors, and how each episode ties into the series as a whole.
You're going to make a website and put that all in there and like blog ish form. I thought that's what you were talking about.
I did do that when we built our website a couple years back, but a lot of people, including Andrew, my husband, has been encouraging me to put this together into book format.
Well, I'm all for that. I think that'd be amazing. I just don't remember talking about that. That's great.
We better be cited as some of your sources.
Leah, hold your mic close. It's so far away.
We better be cited as some of your sources. I will accept Leah Gibson or Leah Firth, either or. And I will take any payment in any form.
I'll take 2% royalties. Thank you.
I'll put a little forward to you guys. Shout out to the Becoming Buffy Babes.
Slay.
There you go.
I'll also accept that.
I wish you guys could, like, we can compile all of the behind the scenes of us being like, both Sarah and I will be in the middle of a sentence and stop ourselves and be like, Leah, can you put the mic closer to your mouth? The amount of times you said that in the 5 seasons is actually just like crazy.
Or Leah, you're talking and your mic is muted again. That happens quite frequently. Or Leah, you currently sneezed with your mic on. That has also happened.
Okay, well, that's because most of the time to unmute it, I press the space bar. And so when I sneeze, I accidentally hit the space bar.
Yeah. Leah, I want to give you an idea of what you sound like to us. So I'm you right now, and this is you talking. Like, do you hear the difference?
No, it's worse than that.
It worse? So it's more like this.
Like this. Yeah, so I was talking.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's literally what
you're talking
like.
Over here with your voice over here, and then you, yeah.
I'm like that scene from Singing in the Rain. It's like, I can't stand. Yeah, that's me.
And I can't stand him.
I can't stand him. But I'd love to have it finished. But in order to do that, I actually didn't write anything for season one. And I lost all my notes because that was back when I was like taking them by hand. I wasn't doing
it on the
computer.
Dude, that was diabolical that we did that. I don't know.
I can't believe you did that.
I did that.
Oh, my word. Yeah. This is all behind the scenes, guys.
I bought a whole ass notebook to only write in it for one episode.
Yep. Well, that's back when we had to like write.
I wrote it once, and I was like,
scene by scene.
Nope, never again. This is
and
not
Leah
happening.
Decided from that day forward, no more notes would be taken, and she's held firm to that, guys.
I have.
Leah doesn't have to run them though. That's the difference.
I think
the privilege Leah has in this
season 7.
I
think season 7 we should make her do it, guys. Or season 6. You know what? That's our new promise from us to you.
Leah is a passenger princess in this podcast. doesn't know where she's just there for the vibes.
So true.
Does the playlist.
Well, but also like if I went through it, you know what would be happening every 5 seconds? If it, oh, Leah, you forgot the scene where that's what would be happening the whole time. And
or
that would
you
not
could
be
take
enjoyable
their own
for
notes.
Anyone.
Or you could take their own notes.
I do take their own notes, but you pull something out of your butthole that was never in the episode and then throw it in there. So I can't do that. Hey, listeners, this is us. Is that accurate?
Oh, she's close to her mic, you guys. She's serious now.
Hey, guys.
No,
hey, guys. You can be honest, it's okay.
It's just violated. Us. Can you back up?
Yeah, it's a little creepy. You're
hey, guys.
Listeners.
Breathing into the mic.
I'm like,
oh, my word. So unhinged. Anyway, okay, 11 minutes into the recording. Let us talk about this episode, Tough Love. So here are all the references that I caught for season 6. We have Willow's full use of dark magic, Giles forcing Buffy to deal with Dawn and seeing how she relies on him, which leads to him leaving in season 6. We have Tara and Willow's big argument about Willow's magic usage, which obviously we know in season 6 becomes a huge factor in Tara breaking up with Willow. And then we also have Tara getting her brain sucked in this episode. And then we have her being extra hurt by Willow using magic to wipe her mind in season 6. And Tara specifically mentioning this incident with Glory and saying how that's triggering for her. We have Buffy being scared that Dawn will get taken away from her, which obviously gets addressed in season 6 as well. So yeah, it's kind of crazy. Like looking at it, I was like, wow, I know season 6 is coming in my head, but then I'm also like, wow, it's so close, guys. It's so close. So let's break down a couple of these things. We have Willow. I think that's probably the biggest thing. Willow using dark magic. So when Joss originally thought that this show was going to end in season five. So apparently they had written like a rough idea of what was going to happen. And then about two thirds of the way through the season, they realized that, oh, hey, we're actually moving to UPN. And they rewrote like the last third of the season. And a lot of the stuff that happens in Chosen was going to happen in The Gift. So they kind of incorporated some things over there. So like all of Sunnydale falling into the Hellmouth was going to happen. Anya dying was going to happen. And one of the things they were going to do is they were going to have Dark Willow fully turn evil in the season five finale, which I haven't done a whole lot of research, but I didn't know if we talked about it before, but I'm pretty sure that like Willow was going to get killed at some point, possibly Xander, all that stuff. So
that would have been way too much.
Oh, I know. Could you imagine like how depressing that would have been?
But also, could you imagine ending the show, Buffy's dead, and then Willow is dark. So all you have left is Xander.
I think Xander was going to die. That'd too.
That'd be
but
crazy. Oh, okay. Well,
that's
at least Xander
really
dies.
Depressing, though. Like, there's no upside.
Yeah. Yeah, they originally, I've heard, again, I got to verify this, I've heard that they were going to, like, in the, like, initially, obviously this didn't go to fruition, but initially it was going to be revealed that Xander was the other half of Glory, and so it was going to be, like, a big twist that, like, for five seasons, we wouldn't have known that Glory was the other half of Xander, but I don't know how they would have spun
that. But how
that.
On earth, that doesn't even make sense, how on earth would Xander have been able to, like, go to high school, see his friends every day?
Yeah, no, totally.
Like, all this
you
stuff. How would Willow
years,
and him be friends for their whole lives? Like, that makes
that
no
just
sense.
That doesn't work.
Yeah, so I need to verify that, but I remember reading that somewhere and stuff, and I'll look it up before we record The Gift. But all that to say is this was supposed to be their big build up to Dark Willow, for obviously The Gift, and I think they decided to have her kind of go almost, I won't say completely all out, but pretty far, like the farthest we've ever seen her in this episode, because they're trying to tease season six without going completely over the edge. But I don't know. I love it. I love me some Dark Willow. It's good. Okay, so then let's talk about the build up to Giles leaving in season six. So he leaves because Buffy's come to rely on him too much and she needs to be able to stand on her own two feet. Yeah, I'm excited to talk about that and the buildup for that in season six. I don't think my opinion's going to change very much. I think it's a bunch of baloney. I think from a metaphorical standpoint, it makes sense. Buffy has to grow up or she's just stuck in stasis. That's why the imagery of her digging herself out of a grave and then giving into her baser impulses all of season six before emerging from a grave victorious at the end of the season is so powerful, because Buffy is the anti-vampire. She's not stuck in stasis and she can grow and change, and Giles has to be gone for that. The adult has to be gone. Even though I think they did it horribly, and on the literal side of things, Buffy needed guidance and support, not total alienation. But you can kind of see like bits and pieces of how they're going to deal with this in season six here in this moment with him talking to her about Dawn. I know we talked about this in the spoiler-free moment where episode where Giles is like, you just need to put your foot down and go out there, but he doesn't give her any practical advice and you're like, okay, but that's not helpful. So I don't know. Do you guys, okay, so question for you guys, and I know we'll talk about this in season six. Do you guys think that it would have made sense and that it still would have, it wouldn't have impacted Buffy and Giles's relationship if Giles had left in season six, but he would have left for a different reason than the one that he did?
I just don't fully believe the reason that he gave in season six.
Sure.
For Giles canonically.
I think if it had been, he was temporarily leaving. Like, he
sure.
was like, oh, mm-hmm. there's a bunch of new potentials and the new Watchers Council asked me to help because blah, blah, blah. Like, if they made up some like logical reason where he was like, you're a fully fledged Slayer, I trust you to be able to handle yourself, these potentials I don't. Like, if it was something along those lines and he was like, I don't know when I'll be back, but I'll be back and I think this will be good
maybe
for you.
Maybe the
like,
council
blah, blah.
Wanted him to go away for 6 months so he can help train the other new
counselees. Yeah, if it was something like that where it was like, I'm not leaving forever, but I'm leaving mm-hmm. because I think you can handle yourself and there's someone who needs my help more, that would have made a lot of sense. Or like, hey, my old friend, I freaking forget his name, whatever.
Ethan Rain.
Ethan Rain, he's gone on a rampage in a different place and they need me to hunt him down and like stop him. Like there were so many things they could have thought of where it takes him out of this situation without it just being like, meh, he leaves when Buffy is out of college, just came back from the dead. Her mom, she's still mourning the death of her mother and is now taking on a new parenting role. Now's the time you leave? No. Like, it made no logical sense. It was a stupid decision to write it that way. And I just think their relationship never fully recovers from that, because then he comes back and they didn't stay accurate to that. They didn't stay into the, like, okay, he's going to be there, but he's going to be an advisor, not her supervisor. They brought him back and they're like, now we're going to create this dynamic where all of a sudden he wants to be in control again. And it's like, but that doesn't make sense, because that's why he left in season 6, according to you guys, just because he wanted to give her control. Like,
yeah,
it just doesn't make sense.
And I think they had him leave permanently in season 6, I say that in quotations, because they wanted the big reveal of, I'd like to test that theory at the end of season 6, because they want you thinking Giles is not coming back. Oh no, who's going to stop Dark Willow? And then he comes back in, which, to be fair, that kind of redeems him being gone the entirety of season 6. That moment is like, oh, amazing. But at the expense of Buffy's mental health, and then just leading into season 7, it makes for a really rough transition. Yeah. So, I mean, Giles's absence, I think, could have been really well done if Giles had said, hey, Buffy, listen, you're doing really great, like, as a slayer, which technically, no, I guess she's not. In season 6, she's not doing well. See, like, him leaving at all, unless he was, like, forced to leave, just doesn't make sense. Oh, I don't know. Ugh. But then it wouldn't go against everything that we've built up in, like, Checkpoint, to have the Watchers be like, you have to come, Giles, because Buffy's supposed to be the boss now. I don't know. I don't know that there was a way to do it unless they put Giles in a coma. Like at the end of season 5 with the whole Glory thing, he got hit on the head.
Put me in the writer's room. I could have written a reason why Giles couldn't have been there for whatever months. Like, even if it was just like a coma, or if it was like
mystical pregnancy. There you go.
or if it was like he has like a family crisis. Cosmo and Wanda or him. Like, or it's like, or if it's like, what if he just like, I don't, there's just so many, like, you live in a mystical world and you couldn't come up with a mystical reason why he couldn't be there. Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yep. Well, we'll be ranting and raving about that in season 6. So stay tuned, guys. Okay. And then Tara's whole thing with Willow, we talked about that a ton in the episode. Tara has valid criticism here. We talked about that. I think she noticed some things in Forever. And obviously they're nodding and building towards season 6. And it's obviously apparent that Tara is very right in her concern, because look what happens to Willow in season 6. So I just will never get over the fact that Willow defiled Tara's mind, basically. And Tara, like,
Even after she has that conversation, at the end of that, she makes a decision right after to go right back to it and lie.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Like, right after she, like, threatens to break up with her, and then, like, Willow was like,
yep.
No, don't, like, tabula I'll rasa. Go without it for a whole month. Yep. And she's like, no, do it for a week. And then immediately after that, goes back to magic. Like, she clearly did not respect her in that moment, you know?
Yeah, or she did, but at that point, it's an addiction, and Willow is just, like, incapable of actively controlling it. I don't know,
like, that's just such a major, like, betrayal of like boundaries in that moment. I know like people are nuanced, but I was like, damn, like you were like being broken up with and you convince yourself not to be broken up, and then immediately going and doing that after she says that she was felt violated. Like, I don't know. It's just rough. Yeah, it's hard to watch.
That's true. It is very hard to watch. And then we have, of course, Buffy with Dawn being taken away. And we'll talk about that. They're really setting up that. Which I'm glad that they're planting the seeds now, because it doesn't feel so like, okay, they're just piling on Buffy in season 6. Like, you feel like you can actively see where they're going from here on out. Okay, and then let's talk about Ben. So it's been really interesting and intriguing to watch Ben this season. Knowing how it all ends, I still feel like he was greatly underused. But I'm curious, what do you guys think is Ben's role in this season?
He's just a way to kill Glory.
You think he's just a way to kill Glory? Yeah.
I think they needed a way to make Lori attainably killable.
Yeah.
And I think they did it in a really good way, honestly, because they don't weaken Lori. And so she's still terrifying, but they make a way to win. And I think that's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good writing. And I think it's really dead. And it's also now it's complicated because there's a quote unquote innocence life on the line.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes mm-hmm. this convoluted question for Buffy of like, well, am I going to kill him? And am I going to not? And then, you know, you have Giles who kills him.
And you know why that works, Leah, is because we've had so many seasons built up, especially in season 3, the whole like comparison between Faith and Buffy and how they view killing people for the greater good. Faith was like, whatever, like that's kind of our part of our job. And Buffy has always, for seasons on end, has always been, I am not a killer. Mm-hmm. Slayers are not killers. And so I think the reason why Ben works is because no part of our brain thinks throughout season 5, maybe up until the finale, that Buffy's going to go kill Ben. No one thinks that.
Yeah.
Especially when they kind of tease like a little bit of like a romance between them. Not much, but like for a splash of an episode. No one here thinks that Buffy's going to kill Ben. Now, when the gif kind of pops up and then you kind of get the idea that maybe Giles will, that makes sense because we know who Giles is. But I feel like this storyline would not work on like in like Twilight or Vampire Diaries because people have no problem killing other humans and other people. But in the lore in the world of Buffy, they've put so much setup with the idea of can the Slayer or any of us kill human life even if they are evil and gonna cause a lot of issues, you know?
Or not necessarily evil, like Ben isn't evil. I would say he's selfish. But
I'm more talking about through the lens of like Glory.
He's adjacent to Glory. Gotcha.
The greater good, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I was reading Mark Field's book in preparation for this episode, and they were talking about how Ben is really interesting because there's a lot of people that are like, should Ben off himself in order to protect the world? But then they were like, if you agree with that,
Leah's nodding.
Yeah, Leah's nodding. But okay, but then they brought up the really interesting point. If you agree with that, should not Dawn do the same thing?
But there's an option with Dawn, whereas Glory is adamantly like trying to like destroy the world. Whereas like with Dawn, like that's she's an option to open a key, but she also like can open nothing if no one does anything with her. You know what I mean?
But also, Dawn was willing to die.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that's going to be the big thing for the gift.
So
Ben ultimately goes no. Ben's like, all right, I'd rather sacrifice Dawn than mm-hmm. like have to sacrifice myself. And Dawn is ready and willing to sacrifice herself. And Buffy does sacrifice herself. So mm-hmm. like, yeah, there. That's the contrast, and that's leads me back to that's the point of Ben. So we've had Glory and Ben representing the two sides of Buffy. If she were to give into her selfishness and power and control, Glory shows who Buffy could become if she became completely unrestrained in her power. Ben is who Buffy could become if she selfishly chooses what she wants over her mission to save others. I'm going to amend that. It's not who she could become. It's how Buffy sees herself becoming. It's not necessarily because I don't think Buffy is capable of becoming these things. I think Buffy fears that she would be. So Ben is who Buffy thinks that she could become if she selfishly chooses what she wants over her mission to save others. I do feel like it is a bit of a black and white dilemma because an argument could be made that Buffy's not being selfish if she chooses to not slay, which the show has adamantly gone like, oh, if Buffy chooses not to slay, like that's her not being responsible. That's her being selfish. And I'm like, okay, but like, she also did not say, yes, I would like to be a slayer. Sign me up. It was kind of just given to her. So, you know, we are pro self-care and saying no if you need to. but we're going to see this pay off in a big way in The Weight of the World, where Ben and Glory go back and forth over the sacrifice of Dawn. And I kind of just mentioned this, but Ben chooses to sacrifice Dawn, and Glory and Buffy and Dawn both are ready and willing to jump. So I think Ben is to be a contrast to both of them as someone who ultimately decides to make selfish decisions. So the last thing I kind of want to talk about, so I clocked this while we were watching the episode, but we have that moment where Buffy comes out from talking to Giles in the training room and he's like, yeah, you need to like be tougher to Dawn and stuff like that. Like put your foot down. She comes out and they have a little triangle and then she gets on Willow and is like, Dawn needs to do her homework. And she reiterates it several times to Willow and they have that like little moment between Willow and Buffy where Willow's like, hey, I think you should be a little bit kinder to her and stuff. And I was like, oh, this is really an interesting conversation, but also the location on where they're having it. So in The Weight of the World, do you guys remember that entire episode is about getting into Buffy's psyche? And as Willow is walking through little Buffy's head or big Buffy's head, but like seeing little Buffy and stuff, she keeps coming back to the same spot. And it's this spot at the bookshelf where Buffy is standing in this episode. And there's like music as Buffy, like this like sound that's happening as Buffy's putting the book back. And it happens like 7 or 8 times in the episode. And it becomes very clear that that is a meaningful moment. And you end up finding out from Buffy that that is the moment when she was shelving for Giles. That is the moment that Buffy gave up. That is the moment that Buffy was like, I just know Glory's going to win. And that means, and she's like, and I was glad that it was going to be over. And she's like, and in that moment, I killed Dawn because I was just wanting it to be over. And so the guilt is literally eating Buffy up. And I think that that was an intentional blocking choice for this moment, having Buffy and Willow talking about Buffy's resentment of Dawn, because that's going to lead to The Weight of the World where Buffy feels guilty because she knows that she's resented Dawn. She just wants that burden to be lifted. Like that's the whole point of that episode is Buffy just wants it to be over. She's not talking about her death. She's talking about, I just want Dawn to be, I was relieved that Dawn died. Because she talks about how like Dawn dies and I will be sad for a little bit, but I will ultimately be relieved because it'll be over. And so Buffy wants the burden of taking care of Dawn, which is the burden of childhood and all this stuff, to be gone. I don't want to have to live with this tension anymore. And so I thought that was interesting with her conversation with Willow right here, because it all stems back to her feeling resentful and then dealing harshly with Buffy or with Dawn and stuff. So I thought that was really, really interesting. And if that was intentional, that was a very, very clever nod to The Weight of the World. Anyway, that's all I have for this episode. So you guys say, wow, Sarah, so insightful. Slay. Learned so much.
We always do, but yeah. Great, great. Good job, Sarah. Very insightful.
Thank you, Tommy. Thank you. No, a little bit shorter of an episode today, but that's partially just because these next couple of episodes are just ramping up and they've got the same themes that they're going over and over. Mm-hmm. But I'm very excited for our year-end spoiler section because that's always so much fun. You guys always have really, really great thoughts and points and insights. And yeah, as we get closer, we'll let you guys know the date for that. Be sending in your guys' comments, your insights, your questions that you guys have for the live spoiler. We will read them out. We'll discuss them and talk about them. It's always so fun to hear from you guys. As always, you guys can email us at becomingbuffypodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Instagram, TikTok, Tumblr, and YouTube at Becoming Buffy Podcast. Special shout out and thank you to our producers, Christine, CJ, Paul, Kashan, Kate, and Omri. Thank you to all the rest of our members, and we will talk to you guys next time.